Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Going to continue on with our Daniel study, and tonight is going to actually be the day the lions fasted, and which they don't normally. Lions absolutely do eat human beings. They do. I've did a lot of research on them, and they actually do. You can sometimes ward them off, but you know, if they're determined to get you, well, and if they're hungry lions, and if there's lots of them, and they feel threatened. That's going to come into play. I want to tell you to begin with that half of the book of Daniel is written in Aramaic and the other half is written in Hebrew, and that's going to come into play tonight. So I want to go ahead and say that. And we're in chapter 6 of Daniel, but we're going to do a little bit of review. But I'm going to go ahead and read from chapter 6. I'm going to read 6 verses, and it's starting with number 1. And it says this: "It pleased Darius," this is a new king we're going to be introduced to tonight, king number 3. And the Bible says, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these, he set 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was number 1, which the Bible says first, which means he was number 1, that the princes might give accounts unto them." The princes, the 120, had to account to these 3 presidents, and Daniel was the number 1 in charge. "That the king should have no damage," and what damage means in this context is theft or loss, so that the king would have nothing lost, that they were accountable. Nothing could be stolen from the kingdom, and so he had everything set in order. And the Bible says in verse 3, "Then Daniel was preferred here in the king's heart," or whatever, "Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes because an excellent spirit was in him," which in this context also, excellent doesn't mean you're very well educated. It means a perfect spirit was in you, was in him, a superior spirit and a sterling spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Now, this is the context of that. He was already number 1 of the 3. But what it is saying here is the king was thinking about giving him yet another promotion. In other words, when it says the king thought to set him over the whole realm, the king was actually thinking about setting him up under himself as number 2. He was about to get yet another promotion. Whether they knew that or not, the Bible does not tell us, does not address that. But these people were all his colleagues. I want you to understand that going in. They're all supposed to work as a team. They're all supposed to, like in a company, they're supposed to flow together and know the authority of who you're under, right? When you're in any kind of situation like that. Verse 4 says, "Then the presidents and the princes sought to find an occasion against Daniel." In that context, the word occasion means an opportunity. They looked for an opportunity against Daniel to accuse him concerning the kingdom, but they could find nothing, no occasion to fault or fault in him, inasmuch as he was faithful. Wow, that's really good. You can't find anything in a faithful man who had a perfect spirit. He had a perfect spirit. He wasn't a perfect man. He had a perfect heart, like King David, a perfect spirit. "For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him." And believe me when I say that all of them looked for it, because the Bible tells us that they were looking for it, that they were looking for an opportunity. And how many of you know that Satan is looking for an opportunity to accuse you and to accuse me? So we need to be faithful and we need to have our heart in order, right? That there would be nothing, that if he was looking, he would not find it. And I like that. It says there was nothing, they couldn't find anything. Verse 5 says, "Then said these men." So these men are now talking about Daniel. Now he's a colleague. Again, I say they're supposed to be together. "Then said these men, we cannot find any opportunity against this Daniel, except unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Wow, if people were to say, "I can't find anything wrong with this person except they read the word of God. They honor the law of God," right? And So this is very, very interesting because these people should be for Daniel and not against him. But we are going to, before we continue that, we're going to talk about last week, just a quick review. Last week, our lesson was the finger of God. We talked about the king Belshazzar, right? And although we see Nebuchadnezzar suffer the consequences of his sin, we also see him be transformed and changed at the end because the entire fourth chapter of Daniel is, in fact, King Nebuchadnezzar's own word-for-word testimony. Do you know, I really like that. It was literally his word-for-word testimony. But now we see Belshazzar, who last week he was an extremely wicked king, a young king, albeit, and a king who liked to party. And God is also merciful to him. With each of these kings, we see God's mercy, by the way. We see God trying to get their attention in so many ways. And you know, God will try the same things with us to get our attention through dreams and visions. If he has to send a big hand, well, he could do it again. And so the hand appears on the wall, and the Bible says the wall was all lit up. It's like a lit up sign on the wall. This hand appears, and the finger of the hand begins to write. This is humorous, to say the least. I find this extremely humorous. In all of God's ways to get people's attention, like dreams and visions and speaking to them, you've got the hand of God shows up with a finger. And God is now writing a message to the king. And the king is terrified, as the guests were likely terrified. And I think we know that he called for the same sorcerers, and once again, they can't do seemingly anything, literally anything that is asked of them, right, that they're requested to do. And so, but I want to say something about this finger and the writing on the wall. There are theologians, of which I do agree. In Babylon at that time, there was a language called Akkadian that was spoken at that time. Some Aramaic, some Akkadian. And, you know, we see when God allows Daniel to supernaturally interpret the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar, we see that, right? That has to be a supernatural gift from God. The reading of the handwriting on the wall is not an actual supernatural miracle. It was written in Aramaic, which is the reason most Hebrew young men knew Aramaic and Hebrew. In fact, remember I told you Daniel was written in Aramaic and also in Hebrew. Now, there was a matter of interpretation because all of these things, many, many tekel parshan, they're all monetary terms. Remember, he's weighed in the balance and he's finding lacking. So, but it was not difficult for Daniel to read that at all. He was called upon to read it. It was the interpretation part that he had to explain. Why would God start writing some things about money on the wall and about monetary balances and stuff? So, but it's not exactly what you would call a supernatural miracle, other than the gift that Daniel does have, a gift of interpretation, of explaining things. It's not even supernatural explanation. He was gifted in that way. He knew. Have you ever heard some? Now, another thing was, have you ever heard people use the term, the handwriting on the wall? Oh, the handwriting's on the wall about that situation. This is where it comes from. This is where that little saying, that people that are even in the world today know that saying. If you see something's going wrong, you go, oh, the handwriting's on the wall. Yeah. In other words, that's going to happen. Judgment is going to happen. And it comes from this. So, you know, so many things are related to the word of God. But Daniel read it. It was a serious warning to the king, and God had had enough of this king and all his partying, but especially that he took the things from the temple his father had taken that were consecrated as unto the Lord, and instead of using them as unto the Lord, he used those things and desecrated those things. It's like taking all this equipment down to a bar and starting playing in the bar, and we prayed over it. This is dedicated unto the Lord, or taking the communion over there and start just drinking it as a, you know, with crazy people. These were concubines and all kinds of people, and God had really had it up to here. But he still had that measure of mercy. He was going to do that. And why else would he warn him? It doesn't make sense that you're going to warn somebody and then, bam, you're going to lower the hammer that night. There was still time. But, you know, we closed out the book last week when he had promised, if Daniel could explain this and read this, which he could, that he was going to give him the purple garment and the gold chains. He's going to get a new wardrobe. He's going to get fancy jewelry. And Daniel said, keep your gifts. But in the end, the king went ahead and said, even after this horrible interpretation that you're going, judgment is here tonight, this king still, he honored Daniel and gave him the purple robe. He put the gold chains on him and stuff, but he honored him, but not Daniel's God. He honored Daniel who served God, but not God, not the God of Daniel. And that's where he went wrong, because he truly could have repented that night. He could have, but he did not, and judgment came, and he died actually that night. He had been so terrified. It was such kind of a funny. But now we have a new king in town. There is a new sheriff in town, and his name is Darius the Mede, he is called, and this is the third king that Daniel's going to serve. And at this time, Daniel is approximately 80 to 83 years old and still living, can I say this, with honor and integrity, and he's faithful to God. And that should be our testimony. And he's been through a lot of things. He's done a lot of things for God, and he could have retired, right? Because, you know, Daniel could have said, I interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream. I interpreted all this other stuff I did. And so now I'm going to retire, but he doesn't. He continues to serve. And even after Darius, he's going to serve King Cyrus. So there's a new king in town. This is Daniel's age. So Darius is the one who set up the kingdom with the 120 princes and the three presidents, of Daniel being the number one. And at 80 years old, you see God promoting him. Can somebody say amen to that as we're getting older? That at 80 years old, you know, I know Gio's not 80, but recently he got a wonderful new employment job. And that just goes to show you that God is never late. He's right on time, and he doesn't care how old we are, if we feel like, well, maybe not. No, God's like, yes, I still have some things for you to do. So he was getting promotion after promotion, and prayerfully, that will be all of us in the kingdom, within the kingdom. So it was mentioned that Daniel was preferred and about to get another promotion, and that they were trying to find some political dirt on Daniel, but there was none to be found. And so they're having to really search elsewhere. So they came to the conclusion, if we are going to go before the king and accuse Daniel, it has to be regarding the fact that he serves God. It has to be about his faith. And so many times, that's the way it is with you and I when we serve God. Since we're not going to go out and commit adultery, and we're not going to go to the bars and just get wasted and do drugs and rob a bank or anything, they're going to accuse us regarding our faith. And so that's what the conclusion they came to. So they begin to conspire against him. By the way, I love Hezekiah's song that says they conspired, they did everything, but God's favor. He said, my integrity. If you ever look up that Hezekiah song, it's wonderful. If you have God's favor on your life and you're faithful, it's not going to work. It doesn't matter who accuses you, because who is actually the accuser? Satan is the accuser of the brethren, and God is the defender of the brethren. God will defend us. So if you're being accused, that's your best recourse is God. So verse 6 says, then these presidents and these princes assembled together to the king, and they said this to him, King Darius, live forever. Always start with flattery if you're going before a king. So they're like, live forever. We're blessing you. We're prophesying. Live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, and the captains. Wow, that's a lot of people groups. Presidents, governors, princes, counselors, captains have all consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever will ask a petition, a request of any god or a man, you couldn't even ask someone else, for 30 days, except for you, king, O king, live forever, he shall be cast in the den of lions. Verse 8, now, O king, king, live forever here, establish the decree, you do this. They want him to do this. You establish the decree and sign the writing. They wanted him to sign it. Be careful what you sign. Be careful what you sign, what you put your name and your seal on, that it be not changed, that this could not be changed. I'll explain that in a minute. According to the law of the Medes and Persians. You know what? The law of the Medes and Persians, things could not be changed, except the law of God overrules the law of the Medes and Persians or any other law, which altereth not. Our law can't be changed, in other words. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. He heard their speeches. They all came to him. But let me just say this as we begin this little teaching tonight. Jealousy is as cruel as the grave. This was nothing more than jealousy. Nothing more at all. Be careful of those who are jealous and envious of you. There is nothing like it on earth, like jealousy. And these were leaders. Jealousy has no place in the life of any type of a leader. In high places. And they were willing, these are people who served in the kingdom. And they were willing to have an honorable man, an innocent, honorable man killed. These people were all, every one of them involved in this, were unfit for leadership, any type of leadership. How would you like to know that all of your coworkers got together and were willing to have you killed, eaten alive by lions? That's what this was. Barbaric, cruel. There are people like that. There are people like that. I will never forget reading the story about the mother who convinced her daughter, and they accused her husband in a divorce that he had sexually molested this daughter. They both took the stand. They both swore to it. This man was given a sentence of like 40, 50 years. He went to prison saying, "I'm innocent." He pled not guilty. He was so sure that they would figure it out. They didn't. They believed the child. They believed the mother. Never even could imagining that he was innocent. Well, years later, the mother and the child became a Christian. Both of them became Christians. And they went into court thinking it would be a very simple procedure. We're just going to say we lied. Even if they do something to us, we're just going to say we lied. It took 5 more years. 5 more years to get him set free. That's despicable. But people are cruel. I see it today. People are mean. People are cruel. They're wicked. You know, I keep thinking, this goes over and over in my mind, because not too long ago I sat with someone in my front room that told me, "I am very wicked and evil." I should have paid a little more attention to that individual. But you know what? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. There are actually people just like that that are wicked and cruel. And this was a group of people like that, that they would love to know that Daniel was thrown into a lion's den to be eaten alive. Be careful when you plot, when you plan, when you connive, and you're jealous and you're envious. But here's something else. I want to talk about King Darius. There's so much wrong with what happened here. I can see so much if I was assessing this situation or if I was one of King's advisors. First of all, King Darius is also being set up. By the way, the name Darius means goodness. And he was basically, if you're talking about as Babylonian kings go, Babylonian kings, he would have been considered a good one. Belshazzar, evil one. Nebuchadnezzar, evil, transformed one. So we see everything. But Darius actually means goodness. He was being set up also. His intention was to promote, I know this because his intention was to promote Daniel. He preferred Daniel. He's the one who promoted him and set him up. So he's certainly not looking for occasion like these guys were to throw him in the lion's den. So, but he was not wise, because wisdom comes from God, doesn't it? And he should have known. First of all, they organized this meeting of the princes, the governors, the princes, the presidents, the counselors, and the captains, and they met with the king, Darius. What is wrong with this picture that they met with the king? I'm going to help you. Where is Daniel? Where is Daniel? Where's your number one among the presidents? We're having a big meeting here, and we're all going before the king. Why did Darius not say, I'm going to have to talk to my number one president here. I would like him to be brought in. But whatever the occasion was, and he was not wise enough to ask that. I don't know, was he drunk? Probably not, but he didn't have the wisdom of God. Be careful of the people you meet with, who they are, and who's there, and who's not there. Do you know, I've been in situations like this where I noticed, like, why was so-and-so not invited into this? Why is this? Why were we not called into this situation? And you know this can happen even today. So be careful whose table you sit at, what you sign, who you meet with, and who's there and who's not there, who's not present at the table. Also, we know that the decree by a king could not be changed once it was signed, because that was a Mede and Persian law, which was a bad law. Thank God God's law, again, oversees that. However, a decree could be amended. That's something that you need to know, too. Yes, it was true that the decree could not be altered, but it could be amended, and it should have been. But this king felt that this would cost him politically. You know, sometimes you feel like, I'm really on the hot seat. I said this in front of all these people. I signed this decree in front of all these people. And to save face, I'm going to let a man get eaten by the lions. I will just let him get eaten. He's one man, right? We're just going to let Alan go to the lions. I mean, you know, we all agreed on it. I signed it. It's one person. That's his mentality. It might cost me all your votes if I go back on this. And so, but he didn't like it. It doesn't mean he liked it, but he didn't stand up either. He didn't take a stand. He didn't take the authority that had been given him. Verse 9 says, wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Verse 10, now when Daniel knew, when he knew that the writing was signed, he went to his house, and his windows being open in his chamber, they were already open toward Jerusalem, he kneeled down on his knees 3 times a day, not once a day, not only in the evening at night, late at midnight, and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime, meaning as he did before the decree was signed, he did it after the decree was signed. That's courage. That's faith, trusting God. Then these men assembled together and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. They found him because they were looking to find him. They found him because they were conniving. They found him because they knew where he was, and they made it their business to find him. Then they came close, near, and spake before the king. Now they're before the king again. Again, Daniel's not there. Concerning the king's decree. Now we want to talk about the decree you signed, that we tricked you into signing. We want to talk about that decree. Have you not signed a decree? Did you do this? They knew that, by the way, that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, except you, king, except for you, shall be cast into the line of dens. It's formed as a question. Did you sign the decree? That's all they wanted to know. Did you sign that decree? That they shall be cast. The king answered and said, it is true, according to the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be changed. Then answered they before the king, you know that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, he doesn't regard you, regardeth not you. He doesn't care about you, king. We're sorry to give you this information. O king, or the decree that you signed. He doesn't care about you, and he doesn't care about any decree you sign. But he makes his petition 3 times a day. In other words, 3 times a day, this Daniel, who doesn't care about you or what you say or the law you make, he's doing this not once, not twice, but 3 times a day, just so you know, O king, and did you not sign the decree? But Daniel didn't care much at all. He did not let the decree stop him from praying. I am persuaded to believe that had he stopped or not, had he backed up one step, that would have been one step closer to being eaten by lions. He did not even close his window. I love that the window was open, that the mouths of the lions were closed. That's what I love. He did not dishonor God by letting his faith be secret faith. We are not undercover Christians, secret agents for God. Jesus hung on a cross openly, unashamedly, and that's how we should preach and teach the gospel. He was faithful to honor God. Picture these presidents, these counselors, and these evil people at the window of Daniel tonight, listening and literally stalking him, and they're listening to him praying. My question in my heart was, what was he praying? Was he praying for the king? Was he praying for their nation? Was he praying for himself? This decree said for 30 days. Could Daniel have stopped and not pray for just 30 days or close the window? No, he could not. Not really. And there's actually a reason for it. I think integrity is one of them. First of all, I can't do without prayer for 30 days. But here's something else. It would never have worked for Daniel to not just pray for 30 days. Because at the end of 30 days, they would have went back and they would have asked for another decree. Can you make this decree for a year? Can you make it for the next 2 years? You know, it is just better to serve God, to be faithful every day, all 30 days of the month, 31 days if necessary, and just go before God anyway. And I will bet you $1 million that Daniel talked to God about his situation. I know I would. I know that any human being would. And something I noticed about that is, we never one time, although these princes and counselors and all went to the king and had a meeting, I know that Daniel being number one of the three of the presidents and him going to be almost promoted, he could have had an audience with the king too. But he did not go to the king even after this. He went to the King of Kings. He didn't even bother to go back to the king. Why? For what? You've signed this petition against me. You've done this thing against me. I'm not going back to you. When someone does something against me, I'm not going back to you. I'm going to him. I'm going to him. I already know how you feel. I already know you want me to be thrown and eaten by the lions. Thank you. But he doesn't. And I'm going to ask him. I'm going to give him my petition. It wouldn't have worked for him to go before the king, and he knew that. Verse 14 says, then the king, when he heard these words that Daniel had been praying, he was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored and he worked on the project till the going down of the sun to deliver Daniel. This is not a king, I repeat, that hated Daniel, but he felt trapped by his own constituents. And this should never be the situation that someone else will dictate to you what to do if God gives you authority. He should have dealt swiftly. He should have amended it. He should have addressed it. He didn't. He had no backbone. So you have an unfit king. You have unfit leaders. Daniel was the one with wisdom. Daniel was the one who was faithful. He had the authority of God and all of heaven backing him, the King of all kings. And I noticed that the king, something in here, did you catch that the king said that this says he was displeased with himself? Have you ever done something and you were literally mad at yourself? I got in a trap. I was set up. This is what the enemy set me up. Well, this king stayed up all night trying to undo a terrible decision that he had made. And he could have exercised authority. But this was all a setup by the enemy. And he just did not. But God. So the king had Daniel then put in the den of hungry lions. I think it's terrible. And the king fasted and could not sleep all night. It doesn't help to fast if you throw someone in the lions. I'm going to fast now. It won't even help to pray if you are the one who threw them in. Pray for yourself that God will forgive you. But he fasted. He was crying. He was lamenting, regretting, the Bible says, and asking God. Did God? So he comes to the door in the morning, and he goes to the door of the lion's den, and he screams out, did God deliver you? Did your God deliver you? And the answer is yes, the fact that Daniel could speak. And Daniel was so glad to be free, he was not even mad at the king. He himself said, O king, live forever. And he began with saying, my God, my God. And when he came to the den, he cried, the king, with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spoke and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God. Oh, I like that. Servant of the living God. Your God is alive, and because he lives, you're alive. God is your living God. Is your God, whom you serve continually, faithfully, able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent an angel and shut the lions' mouths that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me. And also before you, O king, have I done no hurt. Now I like this. He is telling him, I am innocent. I am innocent before God, and I never hurt you. He is putting him in his place. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him. They examined Daniel, and there was no scratches. There were no bite marks. In other words, Daniel did not have to beat off the lions. Daniel did not have to defend himself. And this is such a beautiful part of the story. He did not have to defend himself in any way, shape, or fashion, because God took care of him. It would have been a different story, wouldn't it, if he came out with bite marks on him and scratches on him and said, it was a rough night, O king, but God set me free. It wasn't even a rough night. And I like that about our God, that there was no manner, not one scratch was on him, because he believed in his God. You know, it just takes us believing in God. And the king commanded, now this is the new command. This is the second command. And the king commanded, now he was happy for Daniel, but remember, he was displeased with himself. But he's going to make a wrong right, because he needs to get rid of some people in his kingdom, I would say, some bad people. What better way than the lion's den? And the king commanded, and they brought those men who accused Daniel. Don't you love that? Those men who accused Daniel. And cast them into the den of lions. Bet they wish they had never thought up that punishment. Them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, broke all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Do you know what that means? Before they even hit the floor, those lions had them in their mouth. Before they even were at the bottom, they had them in their mouth. They're throwing these people in the den of lions, and these lions are just devouring them. But remember, that's what they wanted to happen to Daniel. They set up an innocent man. Never, ever, ever. Always. Don't mess with someone who serves the living God. Don't talk behind their back. Don't gossip. Don't be disgruntled, because God is their defender. God will take up their case. The widows, the orphans, all of those who serve the Lord. I just think that this is such a wonderful story. We learn so much from the book of Daniel, from the lessons and the things that Daniel went through. And here he is, basically an elderly man that this is happening to. I mean, a lion could have taken him out with a paw swipe, probably. But God was like, uh-uh. You opened your window, and you talked to me. You opened your mouth and prayed for me. Now I'm going to close the mouths of the lions. The Bible clearly says that God sent an angel and closed the mouths of the lions. And I'm so thankful. And if that's a very good reason to praise the Lord, isn't it? So that God will close the mouths of the lions who was out there, because the Bible says that Satan is as a roaring lion, and he seeks who he can devour, who he can eat with his mouth. So I am so thankful to God. Are we going to have a worship? Or Pastor Ken, you want to share? You want to say something? Sandra, are there music or no? We're just going to close out. We're going to close out tonight. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your word, Father. I thank you for your word. I love your word, Father God, because I learned so much from your word, such lessons, Father God. Yet, Lord, I ask tonight that you would give us a perfect heart, Father God. Let our words be soft and sweet and kind always. Gentle words, Father God. Let us be men and women of prayer, that we would use our words to pray and to bless other people and to lift up other people. And Lord, I thank you for the lesson we learned from Daniel tonight. Father, what a man, what honor, Father God, because we're going to come up against some lions. We know that. Father, we're going to have to take a stand at some time in our life, Father God. And I want us to be able to be that example that Daniel was. No matter what the enemy throws at us, that we trust in you, Father. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.